I have three apostolic seals that we're going to pray over tonight. If you want to get your pads so you can write them down. Number one, and we're going to pray in the spirit of these about these. The Holy Spirit is helping me to receive the apostolic. Let's go and pray about it. The Holy Spirit is helping us to receive the apostolic. Come on, let's pray. The Holy Spirit is helping us to receive the apostolic. He's showing us adjustments we have to make. He's showing us sacrifices that we must make. In Jesus' name, amen. From this night forward, I will walk in honor, which gives me an all-access pass to the supernatural. I'm going to read it to you again. You keep praying. From this night forward, I will walk in honor, which gives me an all-access pass to the supernatural. That means anything you need to get out of the supernatural, you have the pass to get there because you walk in honor. Thank you, Father. I want that all access pass. I need that all access pass into the supernatural. In the name of Jesus, amen. I will allow the Holy Spirit to alert me to every dishonorable thought, dishonorable person, and dishonorable situation so I can avoid them. I need the Holy Spirit help to alert me to every dishonorable thought, every dishonorable person, every dishonorable situation so I can avoid them. Y'all not praying hard on that one. Come on. I want to avoid all dishonorable situations. I want to avoid all dishonorable people. I want to capture in my mind every dishonorable thought and subject it to the thoughts of Christ.
Ephesians,
the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 14. Paul is writing to the Ephesians in this particular chapter. We break it down in chapters. It's actually a letter to the Ephesians. And Paul was the one who God used to help give us understanding to the apostolic. Jesus established it, and he's the foundation. He's the chief apostle. But he used Paul to give us understanding give us clarity, give us a means by which we can apply what we need to apply to walk in the apostolic. He said, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, which leads to verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. Here's the key word, and here's the key phrase. And after I say this, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. That you may be able to comprehend, watch this, with all saints, what is the, listen to this now, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, watch this now, which what? Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I ask this question. How am I going to be able to comprehend something that passes my knowledge? That's the question we have to ask in this passage. So obviously, there's some places we can go that we don't quite understand, but there's only a certain way we're going to get there. All right? Now watch this. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So in other words, Paul is praying for these things to happen so that we can be full, watch this, so that we might be full with all the fullness of God. If that's going to happen, it's going to have to pass our knowledge. Amen. It's going to pass our limited thinking. All right? I'm going to come back to verse 20. Go over to Matthew's 17th chapter. Tonight I'm going to be talking about honor. Not honor in a way, not honor in a way so that we can be nicer to each other or that we can treat each other better. I'm going to be talking about honor that is specific, that will cause us to triumph in the apostolic. What oxygen is to us in the earth is what honor is to us in the apostolic. Honor is the atmosphere that we have to breathe in. And when we breathe in honor, we breathe out what we don't need. When we breathe in oxygen, we breathe in what our body needs, but we breathe out carbon that we don't need. So in the apostolic, in this government, honor is the oxygen of it. So I have to breathe in honor. It gives me the ability to gain strength. Without oxygen, you can't do anything. Without honor, you can't operate in the apostolic. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand honor besides just surface. We have to understand honor in a supernatural way. In a way, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We have to understand honor in a way that sometimes passes our understanding. That's right. Other words, I'm honoring. It don't look like I should be honoring, but I'm an honor anyway. Yeah. Are you seeing this? Matthew, the 17th chapter. Watch this. It won't be long tonight. First point I want you to see. Honor will allow you to experience things in the supernatural which you have not understood or learned. I'm going to say that again. Honor will allow you to experience things in the supernatural that you have not understood or learned. One of the things that our current education system, and it's not their fault, But our current our college system, we learned it. Education started way back with the Greeks and the Romans way back then. And so education came in and we thought that was the answer. But what it did was it took the place of on-the-job training. You have people that graduate from college because they studied some books. They think they can do what they studied. Until they face a situation that wasn't in the books. Honor affords us the opportunity to have supernatural on-the-job training. And we can experience things that we have not learned in the book. Or we might have read it in the Bible and don't understand it, but we can still experience it because honor takes us there. Are you understanding me? See, honor, when you honor the government that God has placed you in, when you honor those that are over you, it causes you to attach yourself to their grace and their experiences. So therefore, you're able to think things happen in your life that you can't explain. And frankly, I don't really want to explain them. I just needed to happen. Watch this. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Watch this. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Matthew, the 17th chapter, we start at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus, watch this. After 6 days, Jesus taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain part. Now, wait a minute now. It was more than that walking with Jesus. It was more than that, more than those three walking with Jesus. So my question is, why did Jesus take those three? It had to be something different about them than the rest of the group. Now, mind you now, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus picked the whole group. He chose the whole group to walk with him, but he took these three and went further. My question is, what could they have possibly done that would allow Jesus to take them with him up into this mountain? They had to be honoring Jesus in a way that the others weren't honoring. Are you seeing this? Watch this. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Let you know right there, Peter ain't understand what was happening, but he was able to experience it, not because of his faith, not because he was spiritually deep, because he honored Jesus, and Jesus said, let me allow him to experience something that he can't explain. There's some miracles in your life. There's some situations that you're in that when you take hold of your honor to the next level, you will experience miracles in your life that you've never dreamed that you could have experienced. Matthew's the 8th chapter. Honor is the oxygen of the apostolic. I've seen people get choked out because they wouldn't operate in honor, so they got choked out and couldn't stay in the government. Choked out and died outside. Couldn't stay in the government. Because they wouldn't breathe in honor. They wouldn't let honor give them the strength they needed to do what they were called to do. Got choked out. You know what I mean by choked out? Ain't no airflow. You let somebody catch you in a chokehold around the neck. And you can't get no oxygen. That's what Satan tries to do to us in the apostolic. He tried to get his hands around our neck and choke us out. Don't try to choke that honor out of us so that we can't receive what we need to receive. Matthew 7 chapter, right? 8? Matthew's 8 chapter. Matthew's the 8th chapter, you're right. Matthew 8 chapter, go to verse 5. Talking about the centurion. And the centurion came to him, verse 6, and said, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come into my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority of heaven, so it's under me. And I go to this man, he goeth, to another come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Wait a minute now. This centurion didn't have all the word. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He didn't have Matthew's 8 and 17. He didn't have Isaiah 53 and 5. He didn't have all that. He didn't have all the healing scriptures lined up on a page. But what he did have, he had enough respect and honor to realize that Jesus was wearing something he needed. And he went so far as to say, Jesus, look, listen to me now. Jesus, I don't need you coming under my roof. This is key now. This is key. He said, I don't need you coming under my roof because I need you to stay in the position that you are. Because when you come into my house, you have to abide by my rules of engagement. And my rules of engagement are below your rules of engagement. So I need you to stay in your place of authority over me. Speak the word only. Now, he didn't understand all this about, he couldn't have understood about Jesus dying on the cross and the blood flowing down. He couldn't have understood all that. Why? Because it had not happened yet. But yet Jesus said this man has such great faith. Why? Because he humbled himself. He was walking in honor in front of people. He said, Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. He made himself of no reputation. He was a centurion. A centurion in those days carried weight. They carried authority. You mess with a centurion, you die on the spot. This centurion saw Jesus and humbled himself, honored Jesus, and his servant was healed. He was able to experience something that he didn't understand simply because he was honorable. One more under this point. Go to Mark, the 5th chapter. Mark, the 5th chapter, the 25th verse. Just talking about the woman with the issue of blood. Faith is not your all-access pass to the supernatural. Faith is what gives you direction in the supernatural. Faith is not your all-access pass to the supernatural. Faith gives you direction, what to do once you're in the supernatural. What gets you into the supernatural is honor. Without honor, you can't get into the supernatural. God said, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Other words, you have to come to me and recognize who I am. Are you seeing this? Mark the 5th chapter. Mark the 5th chapter, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing him that virtue had gone out of him, turned around into the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and said thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what she was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Notice, honor preceded faith. Honor preceded faith. The version in Matthew says she touched the hem of his garment, meaning she touched the bottom. That means she had to humble herself. She had to give honor. She honored who Jesus was. She had respect for what he said. When she did that, she didn't need Jesus to say anything. When she had honor and touched the hem of his garment, it came out on his own. Is it possible for some of us that as we go to the next level in honor, we don't need an apostle to say anything to us? Oh, the faith is there, but honor always precedes faith. If there's no honor, faith has a blocked passage. Faith needs to get into the supernatural to be effective. It can't stay in the natural. Honor is the all access pass into the supernatural. Turn with me to Luke 24. Honor will allow you to experience things. She was able to experience healing and didn't she, once again, Jesus had not died yet, so she didn't have all the revelation, all the insight to, she didn't know nothing about the stripes on his back. Come on now. She didn't know anything about the stripes on his back. She didn't know anything about the blood flowing from Calvary. But because she honored Jesus and was in honor towards him, she was able to experience, thank you, Holy Spirit. She was able to experience Isaiah 53 and 5 before it ever happened. Honor did that. She was able to experience Isaiah 50. He was wounded for our trespasses, bruised for our niggas. Chastised by our peace, with his stripes we are healed. Honor calls her to experience that before it even happened. Luke 24, verse 16. This is Jesus on the road of Emmaus, with disciples on the road of Emmaus. Watch this. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. You see that? Then Jesus went on and began to talk to them and began to explain things to them. They had questions, began to give clarity to them. Verse 31, watch what happened. Verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Here it is. People don't even know who, they didn't even recognize Jesus. But because they honored him and recognized there was something in him that wasn't in everybody else, they were able to get answers, and they would be able to experience something that they didn't have the understanding to experience. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying about honor. See, honor puts you in a position to receive. You attach yourself to the anointing of that person. You attach yourself to the grace of that person. You attach yourself to the elevation of that person. Number two. Honor, listen to this, this is very key. Honor incubates the anointing and graces that are in you that you have not developed character to handle yet. Honor protects the anointing and grace that is in you. It covers it. It doesn't allow it to be exposed to situations that it's not ready for yet. Watch this. Go with me to 1 Samuel 3. First Samuel, the third chapter in this, I'm trying to figure out which verse I'm starting because I don't need to read the whole story. Let me paraphrase it. Don't have much time. Samuel's first time hearing God. He ran to Eli. He ran to Eli, I think, three times. Eli perceived him the third time and said, hey, if you hear this voice again, tell him, hey, I'm your servant. Lord, speak. All right? Now watch this. This is what the Lord spoke to Samuel. Now, mind you now, Samuel going to Eli. Eli raised Samuel from a baby. Taught him all the ways of God, all the things of God, all the ways of the priesthood. Samuel was honoring Eli so much to where when God spoke, God understood that Samuel honored Eli so much that when he spoke in Eli's voice. Watch this. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood, that's after he said, speak, Lord, and called as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Verse 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I've sworn unto Eli, the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever. Verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. What it said? He feared to show Eli the vision. I wonder why he feared to show Eli the vision. Because in this day and time, the way we operate in the church, the way we operate in the kingdom of God, the way we operate in the mighty grand scheme of things for God, if it was any of us that had this dream, we couldn't wake up. We couldn't wait till we wake up in the morning. Oh, the Lord done spoke to me, child. You're on the phone. Lord, I had a dream. God is about to do something. God is about to do a new thing. True honor says this: my leader has to right to make a mistake trying to follow God and remain my leader. Oh, come on now. Come on now. That's what true honor says. That's what true. My leader has a right to make a mistake trying to follow God, and he can remain my leader. She can remain my leader. See, we're not talking about this natural honor. We're talking about supernatural honor. We're talking about honor that will cause everybody to receive everything that they need to receive. Here it is, Samuel. If we read further down, Samuel had to threaten. Eli had to threaten Samuel. Had to threaten him, say, Samuel, if you don't tell me, I know the Lord spoke to you. If you don't tell me what the Lord spoke to you, I pronounce on you what he told you. Go read it. And you know what? If he had not been obedient to what Eli said, God would have had to honor, even though he's going to get rid of Eli, he'd have had to honor Eli's word, because that's how government works. Samuel had enough honor to where Eli had to threaten him. Really, to be honest, he didn't want to see it happen. That's why he feared it. That's honor. 1 Samuel 24. We almost finished. honor incubates the anointing and grace that are in you that you have not developed character to handle yet. See, Eli was confirming, even though he was hearing about his own demise, he still was confirming Samuel in government. He said, I know the Lord spoke to you. You better tell me what God told you. And if you don't tell me everything God told you, whatever he told you is going to happen to you. He was confirming Samuel at the same time by learning about his demise. Verse 5. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Here it is, David. Saul is after David because of jealousy. Now, mind you now, David has to honor Saul. Because Saul is the one that's in authority. God made him king. Even though David was anointed to be king, Saul was still king. So David had to honor Saul as long as God had him in that position. Even though Saul was coming after him, he still had to honor him. Even to the point when he was in a cave, Saul was resting, David had a chance to kill Saul. Just because he cut his skirt, it smote his heart. Because he was walking in honor. God was teaching him how to walk in honor no matter what. And it protected the anointing that was on his life. If he'd have killed Saul at that moment, it would have stifled his growth in the kingdom. For two reasons. One, now you done sowed a seed that you got to reap a harvest for. You done dishonored somebody in authority. So now when it's time for you to be in authority, there's going to be a thorn in your flesh. Finally, you must rid yourself of everyone who is in dishonor. You must not be in relationship with. Let me say this. Let me say it different. You must not be in fellowship with. That's different between relationship and fellowship. Relationship is connection. Fellowship is what strengthens the connection. You cannot be in fellowship with anybody that's in dishonor. Whenever you're around somebody that is in dishonor, it blocks the portals of the supernatural for you. That means you could be doing everything right. You could be walking in honor. But if you stay in fellowship with somebody who is in dishonor, God blocks the portals of the supernatural so that you can't get in, because if you get in, they get in. This is why I'm so adamant about people who walk in dishonor. I don't want you around me, because when you're around me, you're blocking me from getting something. Everybody in LTMA that walks in dishonor, I'm Peter. I got my sword out. I'm cutting you. Because every time we have dishonor anywhere in the camp, that means the portals of a supernatural is blocked and everybody can't receive what they maximally can receive. I hope you're hearing me. Go to Numbers, the 12th chapter. That's why Jesus said, don't think I come to bring a sword. I come to separate mother from daughter. He wasn't talking about, he's like, anybody who walks in dishonor, you're going to have to distance yourself from them. I don't want anybody blocking me from everything that God has for me. Numbers, the 12th chapter, right? That's not the right one. I'm in the wrong chapter. Numbers 12. Numbers 12 and 5. That should be it. Yeah. Look. I don't have time to read the whole story, but this is a story about Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam. That's Aaron was his brother, Miriam was his sister. All right. Moses married a black woman. They got upset about it because she wasn't in the Jewish clan. They got mad about it. And they began to murmur against Moses. Now, here's the issue. Murmuring means they didn't just talk amongst themselves. They went to the people and started running their mouths. So that means now, see, this is the thing about, see, here's the thing with leadership. This is what honor does. Another lesson on honor. This is what honor does. If I have any scratch in me about what leadership is doing, I don't ever challenge them publicly. I'm going to wait till we get behind closed doors to get clarity. Because what happened, you know why most people get, you know why some people, they try apostles. See, apostles are one of the most meekest men you ever want to meet. One of the most kindest people you ever want to meet. Most people who walk in true authority are the meekest people you ever want to meet. Are the kindest people you ever want to meet. But what happened is people vying for their position wants to discredit them in front of people. And so what you do in the public got to be dealt with in the public. If you notice in this fifth chapter, the Bible says, watch this. It says, God and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood where? Now let's make this significant. He stood in the door of the tabernacles. God wasn't supposed to leave the holies of holies, which is inside the tabernacle in another room, in the ark. He wasn't supposed to leave that. But because this dishonor was taking place, God called all three of them to the tabernacle and he opened the door for them. Come on in. God, the Bible says he spat in Miriam's face. Miriam had leprosy. Leprosy means leprosy is where you don't have the feeling in your body. So parts of your body can be separated from you and you don't know it. Miriam had that leprosy and was separated from the presence of God, from the government of God. Because of dishonor. This is why you don't want to be connected with somebody in dishonor, because they have been cut off. And so if you stay with them, you become cut off. Last one. Go to John, the 13th chapter. We close here. John 13, verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting on whom he spake. And there was one laying on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. Then he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After the sop, Satan entered into him. Now watch what Jesus said. Jesus didn't get alarmed. Jesus said, watch this. Jesus said, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, the money bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now here's something. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Remember what I said. You must rid yourself of every dishonorable person. Right? This is why. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. And the little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I send to you a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. A new commandment was given after dishonor left. This commandment is the greatest commandment that Jesus gave. Why? Watch this. Back to Ephesians. You thought I forgot about Ephesians. You thought I forgot about verse 20. Watch this. Go back to Ephesians 3, verse 20. Watch this. Talking about honor now. Paul on his knees praying that we be strengthened in the inner man, that verse 18 may happen, that we may comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge. You cannot know the love of Christ, that passive knowledge, on your own. You cannot understand the breadth, length, and depth of Christ's love until you are connected to your brothers and sisters in honor. You cannot experience the love of God on your own. You will only experience the true fullness of the love of God when we are together. Watch this. Verse 20. Now, watch this. Now. Y'all see that word? Now. Now watch another word we're going to see in the scripture that we've been reading. We've been making it personalized. This scripture never was meant to be personalized. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in not just you, but us. So watch this. Now, if I can't walk in honor, that means I can't be apostolic. If I can't be apostolic, that means I can't understand the breadth, length, depth, and the love of Christ that passes all understanding, right? Which means now does not apply to me, because I'm still there. Now, once that happens, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Not just you, not just me, even not just apostle, but the power that worketh in us. But if you cannot breathe oxygen in the apostolic, you're going to choke yourself out. I close with this. Honor, watch this. Honor places you with an all-access pass into the supernatural. You don't have to know what's going on. You'll learn that later. But when you honor the government that God is establishing, when you honor the people that God has put in authority, when you honor them, you don't have to worry about learning nothing, because you will get on-the-job training. You will get on, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You will get on-the-job healings. You will get on-the-job miracles. You will get on-the-job financial breakthroughs. Don't for another day allow. That's why I prayed that apostolic seal. Holy Spirit, alert me to every dishonorable thought, every dishonorable person, and every dishonorable situation so I can avoid them all. Lift your hand, lead the offering envelope, the ushers in the aisle to serve you. Dishonor, we're get rid of all dishonor. Get rid of all dishonor. I may not understand all what he's saying, talking about the apostle, but I'm going to do it. It might not happen the way I wanted to. It might not be going the way I wanted to go, but I'm going to do it. Now, I can see if we were dealing with a novice. I can see if we were dealing with somebody that didn't have any fruit. But we're dealing with somebody that has a proven track record. You know, and once again, I'll be seeing preachers all the time, be trying to preach about that widow woman. And bake me a cake first. No, I'm not baking you no cake first. You ain't got no fruit. Elisha had fruit. Elijah had fruit when he told everyone, bake me a cake first. See, if apostle were to tell me that, I got confidence in it. But somebody who come from somewhere else that I don't know nothing about, ain't got no fruit, I heard different things about their ministry, come and tell me, bake me a cake first, and this is my last, man, you got to be tripping. You done lost your mind. Father, we thank you for these seeds you've given us. Thank you for